I felt new. So after hearing that from them, I reached out to them and wanted to receive more of their wisdom and their ministry of healing that they had.
Thanks, Paul.
So is it okay for me to share that you were struggling with depression? We don't have to go into all the different issues, but you were struggling with depression. And over a course of about, 3, 4, 5 months, it was a process for Paul. It wasn't a quick magic wand prayer. We walked through some issues from his past, and we began to find some of the roots, and we began to pray into that. And is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Maybe just a quick background story. About 3 years ago, I was seeing a Christian counselor for a brief period of time. And one illustration that he gave me that I found really helpful was he talked about how comparing our lives to a cup. And I was just talking to him about how even when I just experienced small issues and small stresses in my life, I just seemed to get knocked down right to my feet. And I was just talking to him about that, and he said how, you know, for a different person, they may be able to deal with, you know, the conflicts and issues and problems in life, because as the problems come up and fill up their cup, they're able to deal with it on an ongoing basis in a healthy way. But for me, because of the years of past depression and family issues, you know, it's like my cup had been just full to the top with junk and with hurts. And so hearing this example, it helped me to understand why I was the way that I was at the time. But at the same time, I felt very helpless because I didn't know how to go about getting rid of this junk that I was holding on to. And this ministry through Tim and Barb has been such an answer to prayer in that process of digging and uncovering the roots of depression and starting to experience some freedom.
And we have some new friends. Paul and Kendall become great friends, and it's nice to have friends that are younger than us.
Right? Hey, thanks a lot, Paul. And Kelvin, why did you come to us?
For me, it was after hearing a message that Stan preached one time, and probably the same when Tim and Barb stood up and started apologizing for the parents afterward. I was just hit with a real flood of emotion. In fact, I got up and ran out that day. And then a couple of months ago, I decided, well, I got to deal with this. So I started talking to Tim and Barb, and I've come to peace with it. About a week ago, a little over, I was able to go to Olds and visit my mother's gravesite. That was kind of the root of my problem. And I just felt total peace. And so things have started to work out.
Thanks, Colin. That's good. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Okay, that's probably good because we've got something else happening here, too. Just 1 second, Stan. Yeah, so, we've had training in this area, and both up north in Grand Prairie and over in Scotland with LL Ministries. We don't have all the answers. We believe that we become more effective as we work as a team. So I want to briefly introduce to you some team members, because we're starting to form a team this fall. And so just that you know who they are, if you don't feel comfortable coming to Barb and myself with something, feel free to go to them. They'll bring it to us, and we'll set up a ministry time for you if that's something that you think might be helpful for you. So maybe I'll just get you to stand. Those of you that are starting to work with us on our ministry team for Inhumans, Chad and Robin, and Karen over here, Anita, Sonny's going to help out a little bit with some of the men, and we also have Pam, who's not here today. But these are the people that we've decided to start. We're working together and grow together, and hopefully we can be of help to you this next season. But thanks for your time.
Amen. Amen. That's exciting. Levina, you want to come up? We are also excited that Levina is heading to Kenya. You can tell by the way she's dressed, you see. Yeah, do you need a stand or anything? Or?
I'll just speak from my heart. Okay. Do you still want me to share a bit of my testimony first?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just want to give honor and glory to Jesus this morning, because ultimately he's given me a second chance to do my life over. And if I am here to share with you my testimony, if it can strengthen one person, even just one person, how he's changed my life and brought me to where I'm at, or to strengthen someone's faith to know that he is the only way, it would just bring him honor and glory. And so I will share my testimony, I'll share a bit about my life, and then I'll share where I'm at today. So my parents growing up, my mom left my dad when I was 6 years old. My dad had bipolar disorder, and she didn't understand it. So she left him when I was 6 years old, and the police came, and I remember them coming to the house and them asking, do you want to stay with your dad or do you want to go with your mom? And being six, I didn't know what to do. I just said, I want to go with my mom. And they asked my sister the same question, like, what do you want to do? And she didn't give a care about mom or dad. She's like, I'm going with my sister. So she came, we left, we went with my grandparents growing up. My mom soon met another man, and the man was quite abusive. We grew up in an abusive home. He was verbally and physically abusive, and we endured that throughout our childhood. We'd go to my dad's house not knowing that he had bipolar disorder the whole time I grew up. And my dad, he was raised Old Order Mennonite, so that was very, very religious, and he left that when he was like 27, and so he didn't want to install any of that on us kids. And my mom, she went to the United Church growing up, and yet she didn't want to. She basically just left it in the hands of the Lord. She said, Lord, like, lead my children wherever they would go. And now that I'm an adult, it's like the Bible says, train your children in the way that they should go. We have responsibilities as parents to teach and train our children, right? So I never had any training growing up. I never had any impact, no direction in my life. And sometimes I felt really angry at my parents for that, because like I had no direction, and I was just left thrown out there to live my life however I chose. My mom was just like, just live your life, Levina. Have you live your life? We'll support you. And now looking back, I think, what kind of direction was that? You know, like really, like I would have loved to have some kind of direction. So anyway, then when I was 16, I fell in love with this guy. And then all of a sudden I was like, you know, decided we were going to go further and take this thing. And you know, I was going to marry him. So it didn't matter. I was going to marry him anyway, right? And so then a year and a half later, he breaks up with me and is with another lady within 24 hours. And I was like, my whole life just went into depression, went in, like spiraled downwards. And nobody told me that Jesus would forgive me. Like I always thought, I'm going to save myself for marriage. I'm not going to mess this up. I'm going to honor God. And even though I didn't really have any direction, I still wanted to do that in my life. And so that messed me up really bad. And so my life went down a dark path for probably about 3 years. Then I met a guy who is the father to my two oldest children, and he is a hardcore alcoholic. So in 5 years, I've only seen him sober 5 days out of 5 years. There's pretty much nothing I haven't been through, you know? So to see my life and to see how I live my life and how God changed it, it's just all him, right? So he left after 5 years because he was with another lady, and then I was so broken and hurt, I was like, well, I'm going to do what he's doing. So I went out and got pregnant, like one night stand, boom, pregnant with my third daughter. And then after that, I was like, this just isn't working. So I started going to church in Stettler, and I started seeking the Lord, but it was like kind of like 1 foot in the door and 1 foot still like living in the world, right? Like I just wasn't fully committed at this time. And so I met a fellow in the church, and I thought, well, this has got to be right this time because I met him in the church, right? Well, guess what? He abused my family really bad for 10 years. He like literally physically abused my son to the point my son actually wanted to kill him. Like he would have dreams, nightmares of growing up and murdering this man. And that, he said, was the happiest he ever was in his life. And so we endured that for 10 years, and it was really, really harsh times in my life. And I went to church. All that time, I would fight with him to go to church. For 10 years, we went to the church, and nobody knew what was happening in our lives. Nobody knew. Like, all behind closed doors, nobody knew what was happening in our family. And so when he finally left, my oldest son tried committing suicide, like, 7 times the first year. He became, like, pretty much a drunk, turned to alcohol as his coping mechanism. And I would pray and pray and pray because I didn't want my son to die. And it probably was... let's see, like I've been on my own 8 years, fully serving the Lord, probably for 4 committed years. And it was probably after the second year where I remember being down on the floor in my living room and just crying out to God and being like, God, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm so sorry for all these things I've done in my life. Like, I've dishonored you. And then now, reading the Bible, you begin to learn, like, if you read different parts of the Bible, there's, like, a foolish woman and a wise woman. And so you begin to read and learn what a wise woman does with her life. And then you want to model your life after her. And so, anyway, with learning that, looking back, I was like, how foolish I was. You know, without knowing God. And when you're in your ignorance, you're just so foolish to the things of God. And so when I began to learn what a wise woman was, I was like, I just want to honor you, Jesus. I just want to honor you with my life. But in that moment when I was crying out to him, I just realized, like, holy smokes, like, if I don't change my life, like, I'm going to end up in hell, and so are all my children. And I have five. I didn't have five children, like, for maybe me to get saved and them all to go to hell. So basically, I just took a stand of faith, decided that I'm going to walk in the ways of the Lord and confess the word saying, for as me and my house will serve the Lord, and believing that the promises are not just for me, they're for me and my children. My children will come to serve the Lord. You know, they will come to know him. And so about 5 years ago, I started going to missions to Africa, and I went to Kenya the very first time. And basically, I had met a mentor, and he was basically showing me the role model of Jesus. Pastor Stan has said, when Jesus said, come, that's all he said was simply, come. And that's what he did. He invited me to Africa, and he said, come. And I was so mad. I was so angry. I was like, how am I going to come to Africa when I don't even know you? Like, I'm coming to a foreign country as a woman, and I don't even know you, nothing about you, and you won't let me get to know you. And that was end of conversation. So then I was mad. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to Africa, and I'm going to show these people. I just got this mighty attitude. It's like, I'm going to go show these people the love of God, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to show them Jesus, and that's it. They're never going to see me again. That was my plan. Well, needless to say, God had other plans, and he actually transformed and changed my life. So the first time I get to Kenya, I land there at the airport. He shows up with five guys, and I've just watched all these movies on the airplane. They know they show all these movies about how blacks get beat and how blacks are like, and they kidnap you and all this, and it's all in my head tormenting me, right? He shows up with five guys, and I'm like, holy crap, I'm getting in that car, and I'm going to die. Like, literally, I am going to my death. So I get him, and I told him, you're getting in the middle. I'm sitting on the outside because I was going to prevent him from jumping out of the car and these guys kidnapping me and getting away with me, right? So they take me to this hotel, dump me in this hotel. I'm in Kenya for the very first time, alone, in the middle of the night, and I'm like, I've never been alone like this, like, in the middle of a foreign country, like, I don't know anybody. So all I had was God, right? And so then they come back in the morning, and we went from ministry to ministry, and I got to speak to all the children and tell them about the love of Jesus. And then the next year, second year, I went back to Kenya. I went with a lady from Ontario, and we did ministry in another area of Kenya, in Voi. And then the third year, we went to Nigeria. Last summer, we went to Nigeria, and we did a ministry there in Mountain Crest International School and did training out in the villages. Like, she has a school, but then she did outreach to 150 different schools. And I have my early childhood education. So basically, we did teaching and training for all the teachers, and then they all go back to their school and then do that teaching for their, because the government doesn't do training for their teachers there. So then when I was in Kenya the second time, we started building, it's going to be a training center. So for young girls, you know, they'll come in, they'll get training, they'll get a skill where they can learn that skill, and then that skill can be used to support them and their families. So because in Africa, there's so much poverty, you know, and a lot of women tend to get themselves into trouble because of poverty and whatever. And so basically, we want to build training schools in all the nations of Africa, and then from there also build like one model school where like children will be from early childhood taught education, the ways of the Lord, be brought up in the training of the Lord all the way through school. So basically raising a generation of people that do not know corruption, you know, that they know moral ways, they know the ways of the Lord, and you know, from a young age have people walking with them, training them, teaching them. And be taught the ways of the Lord, which are like giving instead of taking. You know, there's a lot of Africans that take and take and take. No offense to my African friends, because you know I love you all. And if you go to Africa now, like there are young children, 15, 16, lining up internet, trying to scam people, trying to get money over the internet because of poverty and because they have nothing to do. They don't have skills and they need the skills. They need the training so they have work and have something that they can therefore take with them and do. So like with our project we did in Kenya, the boys from the church all came in. They helped build the church. So they were getting training. They were getting a skill. They were learning building. And once the home is finished, the girls will go in. They'll get sewing, computers, baking, that kind of thing. So the home is going to be used as like dual purpose, both for the young boys and for the young girls. So yeah, that's kind of what, and I leave next Sunday for Kenya again. So yeah.
Amen. God's given you a big dream, and he's given you a big heart, so that's a good thing, right? We want you to know that we send you out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we want to pray for you, and if there's anyone who wants to support Levina financially or prayerfully, I think we all want to do that, so, you know, we just want to include you as part of our family and know that God leads you out there, so we're going to pray for you now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for Levina. Thank you for the mission and for the dream that you give her. Thank you that you give us dreams sometimes that are bigger than we can even imagine. We just pray for this school and for all this work of educating young girls and young boys, that you will bless it, that you will prosper it, that you will provide for her and for the team. Thank you that you are the God who said that we are to go to all the ends of the earth, and that we are to go and baptize and to teach them all things. And so we just send Levina out in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray that amazing, great things are going to happen and that we will hear great reports that bring praise and glory to the name of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're just going to play like a one-minute clip. Cody, if you don't want to put that up now. And just you're going to see here, I think this is a lady you're working with, correct? She's the pastor, and she's got a great music ministry, too. So if you have that ready, let's put that on. So just so you get a taste of what Levina's going to be enjoying. Not that one. There's the other one. Do you have the other one or not? Okay, then we don't do it. Sorry, I don't know what happened. You can just turn that one off for now. We've got lots going on today, I'm telling you. But God is an amazing God. And just as I said earlier, you know, just changing some direction today, really believing that, you know, God wants to lead today by his Spirit. He wants to press in. Even some of the things that have been shared remind me that God's in control and that his Spirit leads us. He leads us to go someplace, sometimes to places where we don't expect to go. And he leads us to help people and to counsel people and to bring advice and wisdom, because he equips us, right? He gives us the gifts of the Spirit. He gives us the ability to be able to work and to help each other. And for about 3 months now, I've been preaching on the whole theme and the topic of being led by the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit has come to lead us. That the reason why Jesus sent his Spirit is so that we would have direction. Amen? So that we would know where to go. So that we would have wisdom. So that we would be equipped for the task at hand. And we are, right? We are. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have to bear with me a little bit today, because I'm just going to be changing directions from what I was planning. Because God just made it really clear last night that, you know, that he's got a move. He's got something he wants to do here today. And I want to read from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And this talks about the Holy Spirit. And isn't it interesting, and I know I've said this before, but that what Jesus really cared about before he died, that the last thing that he talked about was unity, and that the Holy Spirit was going to come, and that the Holy Spirit was going to fill us, right? Now, this is one of the things that Jesus said. We're going to read as we begin. You don't have this, I'm sorry, you won't have this on the overhead, but just listen. And we read here, in chapter 14, some of you who have your Bibles, I hope you bring your Bibles. verse 15. John 14, verse 15. And if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I want you just to focus on that. Think about that today, okay? The world does not know God because it neither sees God nor knows God. But Jesus said, you are different. You know me because you see me and because I've given you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit not only is with you, but the Holy Spirit lives in you. Can you remember that today? And because of that, and I think this is really profound, he says, you know me. And you got to stop there and think about that just for a couple minutes. You know, we know God. We know the heart of God. We know what God's intentions are. We know what God's plans are, even though we might not really consider that in our hearts, but we really do. You know more than what you know you know. Does that make any sense? You know more than what you might be letting on, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus said, you know who I am. You know me. You know my heart. You know my intentions. You know what I want you to do. You know the direction I'm giving you. Last time we spoke about this, we talked about that in Romans 8, it says that those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Remember that? Anybody? Good. Makes me feel better. Even if you didn't, you put your hand up and I still feel like you did, right? So what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say that it means to be led by the Holy Spirit? It means a lot of things. We've been studying that. We've been looking at that. Last time we realized and we came to that point of saying, what it really means is my identity now is that I am a son of God. If I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit, my identity is I'm a son of God or I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of the King. I am no longer caught up in that sin. I'm no longer defined by my past. I am a son of God. Those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. That's you. You believe it? Yeah? You should cheer. You should clap for that, you know. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. You are loved by the Father. You are redeemed by the Son. Your identity is in Christ. Yeah, you are the righteousness, right? You are. And so, you know, that's one of the things that it says in the Word of God. If you're led by the Spirit, you can know this for a fact. If you are led by the Spirit, you are the children. You are sons of God. Now, there's another verse in the Bible that talks about what it means for us to be led by the Spirit, and that's in Galatians. In Galatians, it says that if we're led by the Spirit, we're no longer under the law. I want to just kind of focus on that for a few minutes. So let's just read that. In Galatians chapter 3. Yeah. Actually, it's Galatians chapter 5. Sorry. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Here's what Paul says. He says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Did you hear that? That's as far as we're going to read. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. That's what the Word of God says. Remember, we're asking the question today. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Well, it means you're not under the law. That's what it means. It means that you've been redeemed through Jesus. It means you don't stand condemned by the things you could never keep in the first place. Amen? You're not under the law. You're led by the Spirit. And Paul makes it very clear, lots of different places, and I was going to get into all that. I'm not going to be able to today. He makes it very clear that we got a choice to live. We either live by the Spirit or we live by the law. We either walk according to the way God wants us to walk, or we walk according to the traditions and the ways of man. The rules and the regulations that we just can't keep anyways. Those who are led by the Spirit are not under the law. You see, before Jesus came, everyone lived under the law. The law, when you talk about the law, we're talking about the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, but even more than that. We're talking about the Torah. We're talking about the five first books and all the rules and regulations and all the discussion and all the teaching about how to be clean and how to do sacrifices and how to live so that God is happy with you, right? And in the Old Testament, the Hebrews loved the law. They loved the law. They recited the law. They memorized the law. They knew it word for word. They taught their children the law. The law was all important. They loved the law, but they couldn't keep the law. And that was the problem. They couldn't keep the law. Your coffee spilled, yeah. It's okay. Why don't you just leave it, okay? I'd appreciate it. Just leave it. Are you following me here? So we could never keep the law. We could never be good enough to find our righteousness in the law of Moses. And God knew that, and that's why he sent his son Jesus. See, what the law does, the purpose of the law is to uncover sin. That's really the only reason why there's a law. It's so that it shows us sin, and that can be good. Paul says, I wouldn't know my sin if it wasn't for the law, right? So the purpose of the law is that it uncovers sin. It shows us where we mess up and where we fail and where we are weak. That's what the law does. But the law can never declare us to be righteous, because for us to be righteous by the law, we would have to keep the law entirely perfectly, and we're never able to do that. And that's why Jesus came. We live, and there's lots of different passages. One that comes to mind is Romans 7:14, where it says, we no longer live under the law, we now live under the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit of God. We should be excited about that. You should be excited about that. Right? I'm no longer under the law. And it doesn't really say this, but I think this is true. The law, oh, I hate that when my voice does that. I feel like that 15-year-old kid who works at McDonald's, right? You want fries with that? Let me back up. We are under the righteousness of Christ. We're under grace. We should be excited about that. I am now led by the Holy Spirit. And the law is under me. I'm not under the law. You know, he says, you're no longer under the law. Well, the implication is now the law is under my feet. That doesn't mean that it doesn't play a role or that it's not important. The law is still important because it's a pathway now. I walk the pathway of what God wants me to do. But the pathway doesn't condemn me anymore because I could never keep it. You understand? You understand? The law is under my feet. It no longer hangs over my head with judgment and condemnation because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. So where the law was given to uncover our sin and to kind of leave us where we go, wow, I am lost. You know, when you have the law over you, you're left with that. I'm just lost. I have no hope. I have no future. There's nothing I can do apart from Christ. Amen? And what Jesus has done, so where the law has uncovered sin, Jesus has covered it. You get that? Jesus has covered our sin in his righteousness, in his blood. He is the antidote. Jesus covers our sins in his blood. Our sins have been uncovered by the law, but they're covered in Christ. Are you following that? Amen. 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 So the law is kind of like, I'm trying to explain this, and this is always dry stuff, right? Anytime anyone preaches about the law, it's pretty dry and dusty. But I want you to think today of the law of Moses and that law that they followed for a number of thousands of years. Think of it as a manual. It was a manual that was handed by God saying, here's some directives. Here's how you should live if you want to live purely and perfectly. And there's all kinds of things in the law. It's all about a manual. Here you go. Here's what I prescribe for you. You do this, and you'll be blessed. You do this, and you'll be cursed. And the law is full of that. You do this, and you will inherit. You do this, and you will disinherit. You do this, and you will live. You do this, and you will die. It is a manual. Okay, you follow that? It's a manual. It's a manual. I don't know about you. I'm not very good at manuals. You know why? Because I'm a man. We don't follow directions very well. You know why we don't follow directions very well? Because we know where we're going. And we're going to figure it out. Right? We may need to drive around a little bit, but don't worry, honey. I know exactly where I am. Right? So this is a message probably more for men than women, actually, because we couldn't keep the manual. We couldn't keep the manual. We couldn't do this. And I got bad news for the ladies here. You couldn't either. You might have been able to do it better than us, but none of us could keep the manual. It's a manual. I want you to just imagine. Actually, just put that little video on now. Actually, this is quick. Just to show you. You know, there's certain rules that we're supposed to follow. Sometimes you get something, and you're supposed to put certain things together and follow the directions. Well, here's a picture of a guy. Watch him for 30 seconds. He bought a bookshelf from IKEA. He decided it would be better to build the bookshelf on the ground rather than to build it in place. And right about here, he's getting in trouble.
Ouch.
Yeah. You see, that's what happens when you don't follow directions. That's what happens when you don't keep to the manual. That's what happens when you do your own thing. And how many of us haven't done that before? Where you go, I'm going to just do my own thing. I think I'm going to be all right. I think I've got this figured out. I don't think I need instructions. I think that I know. I've been around a few times this block, so I think I know what I'm up to, right? I have a grandson. And you've seen Judah here before. He's living in Hawaii right now. He was the one who was singing up here a couple months ago. And he's really good at Lego. He's 6 years old. And I know that I'm a grandpa, and I'm probably biased, and probably my estimation of him is a little bit exaggerated, but I do not think I'm exaggerating when I say to you today that he is probably the smartest six-year-old in the world. Judah loves Lego. And this summer, when they lived with us for a month, you can just put that picture of the Lego up. I bought him this amazingly big Lego thing. It's like 15 inches long, and it's meant for kids that are 10 and over. And he couldn't even read, but he got into the instructions. We gave him like 160 pages of instructions of doing the Lego. Do you have that picture? Oh, it's too bad. It should have it, but there we go. So he built this thing over the period of about a week, right, Chris? Maybe a little longer. But you know what happened? Like, he did amazingly good. And like I said, he's the smartest six-year-old in the world. But once in a while, he would run stuck, and he would say, Grandpa, I don't know where the pieces are, and I can't do the next page, and I'm lost here. And then whenever that happened, I would say, Crystal, can you come? Because she's way better at puzzles than I am. And then she would look at it, and she'd go, well, Judah, that's because you missed a page. Or you missed a step. Now we got to tear this all apart. And I got to tell you, he hated it when he had to tear apart, you know, 3 or 4 hours of work to get back to rebuild where he was. You need, if you're going to read the manual, here's the point. You got to do every page properly. And it follows in sequence. And I guess I'm belaboring this only to say that none of us, not only Judah, you know, he couldn't do it without help. We can't do this. You understand? We can't live by the manual and be righteous. Is that clear? Am I making myself clear? We cannot live by the manual. You will never be good enough. You will never, never be able to live without some kind of sin or imperfection or wrong thought in your mind. Never. And that's why, and I know this next thing I'm going to say is going to sound a little bit trite, and you're going to go, oh, that's maybe a little corny, but I'm going to say it anyways, because I'm hoping you remember it. As a preacher, what I really want to know is that you're hearing some of this and that you're remembering it. So bear with me on this, because I'm going to say it now. That we don't need a manual. We need Emmanuel. All right? I know that sounds corny, but it's true, right? It's true, and it's the beauty of the New Testament, and it's the beauty of the Spirit-filled Christian, is that I have God in me. I have God in me. And I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. What did we read in John chapter 14? Jesus said, you know, the world doesn't get it. Your friends out there, they don't get it because they don't see me, they don't know me. But you see me and you know me. You know everything about me because I live in you. Amen. I live in you. Amen? We've got six people here cheering. I live in you. We need Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And Jesus said, I'm not only going to be just God with you, I'm going to be in you. I'm going to live in you. I'm going to give you direction. And that's what we've been exploring. That's what we've been learning. That's the beauty of the Spirit-led life, is that the Holy Spirit actually wants to lead me and do specific things and speak to specific people in their situation and maybe encourage or do specific ministries or missions. That's the beauty of having the Holy Spirit in us, is that he actually gives us direction and he leads us. And we want to grow in that, amen? Amen. Right? I mean, I'm just hungry for this. I want to know what's coming next week, you know? What am I going to preach about next week? Because I don't know. But I'm excited about it because it's going to be about the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit. And I want to be open to the Spirit saying, lead me. Where do you want me to go? Who do I talk to? How can this life be used more powerfully? How can I be better at being attentive and listening to you? Let me give you another example. Imagine that you've never seen an airplane before. You never flown in an airplane before. But you were in a situation where you had to fly an airplane. And all you had was this thick 500-page manual. And you're sitting in the airplane, you're going, I don't know what these dials are for. I don't know what this stick is for. I don't know how to turn the heat on in this thing, let alone how to drive it, right? And you start going through the manual. And you're going, oh, my goodness. Like, it is complicated, and the words are difficult, and there's terminology that you don't even understand. I want to ask you, what is the chance that you're going to fly that thing, and that what's the chance that you're going to land that thing? Not too high, right? But what if, rather than a manual, rather than the 500 pages, what if, come on up here, man. Yeah, no, I need you here. What if you had someone beside you who said, you know, Teresa, I'm going to help you fly this plane, and I know how to do it. And I'm going to tell you what all the different instruments are for. That's the altimeter. That's the heater. that big red button, that big red button, you push that to start things. Yeah. What would happen, though? Can you imagine how much more of an advantage, how that would help? If you had someone sitting right beside you saying, now I want you to push this button, now pull back, now do this, now let go, you know, a little less gas, a little more gas, hold the nose up. Right? You can sit now. That's what we're talking about today. That's the beauty of being filled with the Holy Spirit, because I actually have the Holy Spirit in me, and he's speaking, and he's giving me direction, and he's telling me to do things that go way beyond my ability. And by the way, way beyond your ability, too. Way beyond. The dreams that he has for us, they sound phenomenal, crazy. They're nutty dreams, right? They don't make any sense. Yeah, but God says, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to direct you in ways that you can't even imagine. This is going to be an exciting ride, and we're going to land the plane when we're done. Right? There used to be a bumper sticker back in the 80s that said, God is my co-pilot. You heard that one before, right? And I heard the other day someone saying, if God is your co-pilot, you should ask to change seats. Right? Because he's not my co-pilot. He's driving, he's flying the plane. But he allows me to put my hands on the sticks. Right? He allows me to enjoy and to be part of this dream that is way bigger than I can ever imagine. He's so good. He allows me to be a part of the enterprise of building the kingdom of God. That's exciting. Building the kingdom of Christ. Telling people who don't know Jesus that Jesus loves them. That Jesus died for them. That the law, you're no longer under the law. You are now under the righteousness of Christ. And he loves you so much that he poured out his blood for you. Amen. Amen. And that the Holy Spirit lives in you. So that you know the mind and the heart of God. You know way more than you even know. You know so much more than you give yourself credit for. I find that's true. I would imagine that Barb and Tim would agree with that too, that there's a lot of people that I talk to. Sometimes you counsel them or you pray for them or they have a need for this or for that. But I got to tell you that most of the time, in the 30-some years that I've done this, most of the time the people that I've prayed with or I've counseled or tried to help, most of them knew the answer before they even came to me. They just needed someone to encourage them, but they knew. Most of us know how we should live. Most of us know, you know, even deep inside of us. I'm talking now about people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people out there who don't have a clue. They don't even know, you know, their left foot from their right foot. But if you have Jesus living in you, if you have the Holy Spirit and you're led by the Holy Spirit, you know more than you know, right? Yeah. So, last night, 4:00 in the morning, God wakes me up and I'm going, I don't want to change this. Lord, it's a good sermon the way it is, you know, it's a good message. You're going to like it. He said, no. I'm not. I want you to just tell the truth today. I want you to remind my people, my sons and daughters, remind them that I am Emmanuel. That I am in you, that I have equipped you with my Holy Spirit to give you power that you are not even availing like you can. I am Emmanuel, and I have a specific plan for your life. And I want to direct you, and I want to speak through you, and I want you to be an instrument who encourages and who speaks truth and who promotes justice and who seeks mercy. That's who I want you to be. I want you to tell them that. And then he gave me two really strange things that just came in my head. So you're going to have to just bear with me and put up with me. And if it seems weird, take it up with him. Because, you know, while I was praying about that in the middle of the night, I was praying and saying, God, just I want you to lead me. I want to be led by your Spirit. And I want to hear the things of God, the things that you want me to hear. And so there's two specific things that God laid on my heart. And I believe that these came to me from the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to share both of them with you today. And they're kind of right out there. And the first one is for mothers who are here, who are grieving or who are hurting over your daughters. So just bear with me while I try to tell you what God is saying, what I believe he's saying. I'm not saying that I'm particularly good at this, but I am trying to be willing to do what he tells me to do. So maybe this is for you today. Maybe you are hurting or anxious because of a daughter that you have in your life. Or maybe your daughter's young, but you got a special burden on your heart for her. And you just know that God has laid that burden on your heart for her. He wants you to know today that he understands that. Maybe your daughter is in trouble big time, and she's been in trouble for a long, long time. So I just want to start this by kind of identifying who this word might be intended for. So just take a minute. Let's just pray a minute. God, we don't want to run ahead of you here. I know that there's some mothers here today that have really struggled with their daughters, and I know that there's probably some of us struggle with our sons and all that, but today it's about moms and their girls. That girl that is somewhere that we don't even know, that girl who is broken, that girl who is not free, that girl who used to be my little girl. That girl has broken my heart. God, for these moms here today, I just pray that your word would penetrate with truth and with light, with encouragement and with clarity. We love that woman. We love that girl so much. And we've been carrying this for a long time. There's some of us here today, you've been carrying this for a long time. So God, just would you speak today? In Jesus' name, amen. So if today you know God is saying this is you, I'm just going to ask you to stand up right now. Just be brave and stand up. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Just stay standing. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to leave you there. I'm going to tell you what God said to me next. And I'm going to ask you just to receive this and ask God if this is really what he's saying. Don't believe it just because I say it. But I want you to hear what I believe God is saying to you mothers today. And this is what he said to me. He said, tell them this. Tell them, do you remember the day when she was born? Do you remember the pain and the hard thing that you had to go through for her to be born? Well, I want you to know this today. You're still giving birth to her. You are still giving birth to her because she still needs life. And I have called you to give life. Don't be discouraged. Don't quit. You need to give. If this hurts, because birth always hurts. There's always sorrow involved. I understand your sorrow. That's what God's saying. I know your sorrow. I know your pain. I know your disappointment. I know the hard things. I know the broken stuff that you've gone through. You need to continue to give birth to her. Do it with courage. Do it with courage. You continue to give life. And so in as much as you're able, in as much as you're able, breathe life into her because she needs you. And don't give up. Don't give up. Because what comes out of birth is life. I am not done with her. You may not be done with her either. Amen? So receive that. Will you receive that today? All right. Thank you. Just sit down. Just sit down. Again, I know this probably seems kind of weird. It's kind of, yeah, I'm not going to keep apologizing. The second thing that I heard from God last night was just about those of us who are really asking a lot of why questions. So maybe that's you today. You ask a lot of why questions. Why me, Lord? Why are you not doing this, God? A lot of the requests, it was almost like God was saying, there's a whole lot of people that they start the sentence when they talk to me with why. Why? Why does this happen? Why am I not stronger? It's not always about God. It's about you. Why am I so dumb? Why do I keep falling into this? You speak with a lot of question marks, and the question mark is always a why. Why do I not add up? Why am I so whatever? You fill the blank, right? So if that's true for you today, and that just sort of strikes a chord, You go, you know what, I think that's me. I think I do ask a lot of why questions. I want to know the answer to the question why. Again, I'm just going to ask you to stand up, if you will. Thank you. Yeah, that's honest, right? It's honest. We're going to kind of wind this down. So, Crystal, you want to just play a little piano? Because I want to tell you what I heard God saying. And God is saying this. He says, I want my children to change the question. Because the why question, not that we can never ask why questions. You can ask why questions. But the why question starts with doubt. You understand? It doesn't start with faith. It starts, you're doubting God, you're doubting yourself, you're doubting your family. And God kind of laid it on my heart, and he said, tell them this. Stop asking why. Start asking how. Ask me how. Ask me how. How can I hear you better, God? How can I bring more glory to you? Not why, but how. How can I build this kingdom? How can I be strong? And how can you be strong in my weakness, God? Tell them to change the question. Because you know what's wrong with the why question is the why question just goes in circles. And you just keep asking, and it breeds more why questions. How, God, can I glorify you better? How can I hear you like I've never heard you before? How can I see you and what your purposes and plans are for me? Pray how. Pray how. So, Jesus, we do that right now. How? How can we glorify you? How can we see what you're doing that just seems so hidden? How can we see it? How can we feel the depth of your love today? How can we do that? How can we trust you better? Jesus. How can we avail ourselves of the Holy Spirit who is with us and who lives in us? Jesus. And how can we be used in ways that we can't even imagine? How can we build your kingdom? Oh God. Thank you, God. Just ask him how. Just while you're standing there, just, you know what's on your heart. You just ask him how. How, Lord? Maybe you're just finding yourself in an impossible situation. Isn't that such a better question? Rather than to say, why? Why am I in this impossible situation? To say, how, God? How are you going to show yourself in this? In this. Amen. Well, just, why don't we all stand up? We're going to sing this song again about, I just can't get enough, and I want to draw to God. If you need prayer for something specific, something you're especially struggling with, just come to the front, get on your knees, cry out to God. There will be people to pray for you, but you know what you really need is Jesus. And he's here. There will be many of us who want to just pray with you, but just come and ask him. Because I guess I'm repeating myself, and I've never done that before. But the reality is that we know. It takes faith to believe what it says there, that we know. We know because we have the Spirit in us. There is an answer to the problem. There is an answer. There's a solution to whatever it is the struggles are going on in your life. There is. And likely you already know what it is. But it's so good to come forward and even to join with other people and to be affirmed in that. Let's just worship him. Yeah, just come on up. Come to Jesus.
Nothing like your love.
Say amen. Just receive God's blessing. Why don't you lift up your hands? May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And may God give you his peace today. He loves you. He lives in you. And you know him. Amen. God bless you.